Okay, we're in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and we're going to continue. We probably should get through the vision, but one of the things that we've been doing is kind of interpreting the vision even before we got to the angel's interpretation. But there's still more to say when the angel does give that interpretation. So we actually covered verses 7 through 9. We were in the middle of verse 9 at the last class, but let me read verses 7 through 9, which is the fourth kingdom that's going to be a world Gentile power, is actually the future Antichrist kingdom. And it will be destroyed by the second coming of Jesus Christ, and that's what these verses will obviously say. It says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, "After this I saw in a night vision, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels a burning fire." Let me read verse 10 as well. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000, 10 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were open. So the Ancient of Days is what we were talking about last time. And that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and setting up his kingdom. In fact, we were reading verse 9 in light of the second coming. We saw several different things, but let me remind you, there was the importance of talking about that Antichrist kingdom. These references, the last thing said in verse 8 there, and a mouth speaking great things. You keep reading that, not only in this chapter, but as we compared it to the book of Revelation. And certainly we know from 2 Thessalonians that he's going to declare himself to be God. We know from Revelation 13 he's going to cause the world to worship him. But he's going to blaspheme the God of heaven and declare himself to be God. And he's going to convince the people of this world that that is true. There is a sense in which you can understand that he is going to convince the world, especially like the Jewish people have rejected the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. So they're still waiting for their Messiah to show up. And he's going to convince them he's him. That's why we call him Antichrist. He's called in this chapter and in Revelation 13, the beast. All through the book of Revelation, he's called the beast. We call him the Antichrist out of 1 John. But anyhow, he speaks those great swelling things, but no matter what he speaks, verse 9 says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down," and that would be the Gentile powers. "And the Ancient of Days did sit." So there, he's going to sit on his throne and set up his kingdom in the earth. Whose garment was as white as snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels a burning fire. And then even going down to the stream issuing out of his mouth. We were reading in Revelation chapter 19, I believe we read last time. Well, actually, we read in Revelation chapter 1, the description of the hair of his head and the fires and all is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ in his judgment coming back, as Revelation chapter 1, John sees the Lord with that same description. The other thing that we were talking about is when it calls him the Ancient of Days, we kept looking at the three times Ancient of Days is used in the Bible, and right here in this chapter, and it seems like if Daniel chapter 7 verse 9, obviously by that comparison with chapter 1 of Revelation, is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look over in verse 22, well, verse 21 says, "And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High." So we have this Ancient of Days coming, saving the nation of Israel. And the whole point of this is that God's promise to Israel, he's going to set up a kingdom and they're going to reign with him in that kingdom. So when you have until the Ancient of Days came, you have the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the Ancient of Days seems to be the Lord Jesus Christ, except in verse 13. In verse 13, it says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That's the favorite title of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel records. A favorite title that he kept calling himself, the Son of Man. We'll talk about that in a moment. It says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom. So there, the Ancient of Days seems to be like God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ going before God the Father, receiving the right to return and set up his kingdom on this earth. So we talked about it. Either there's two Ancient of Days, or somehow they're the same Ancient of Days, but it seems obvious to me that verse 9 and verse 22 is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that can be denied. But in verse 13, it's obvious that it's God the Father. We ended the class by saying the solution to that is to recall the deity and remind ourselves of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That because he is God, he is from everlasting. I just jumped way across my notes. But he is eternal God. In fact, when you talk about Ancient of Days, there's wondering why this title is given in this passage to the Lord Jesus Christ or to God the Father, to call God the Ancient of Days. He is the one who created time. He is before time, and he is eternal. And so there's one sense you look at that and say Ancient of Days, he's Ancient of Days because he is from everlasting. The other is that the Ancient of Days, meaning that you got a prophecy here of everything that's going to happen, but he is before all this ever took place. So you could put him in the days of time, or you could put him outside the days of time. But a couple of references I'd like you to see. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 21. This is Abraham making peace with Abimelech and being able to stay at Beersheba. The land there. And after everything is settled and there's no war, Abraham offers a sacrifice. It says in Genesis 21, verse 33, and it says, Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned and so forth. So Abraham, you know, just recognizing God and calling him the everlasting God. So he is that eternal God. And that's the other verse I wanted to show you. In Deuteronomy 33, and these aren't surprising. There's all kinds of different names for God in the Bible. There is a pastor friend that every time I heard him pray, he started every prayer with eternal God. And he would acknowledge God the Father as eternal God. And it, you know, it just got me thinking that that's not an expression I hear people use very often. It comes out of this passage, Deuteronomy 33, was it verse 16? No, verse 27. It says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. And it's about the Lord protecting Israel and establishing the kingdom that he promised them. It's called the blessing of Moses, but the eternal God is thy refuge. And I think that's the only place in the Bible that uses that. And I always heard him pray, and I was impressed with acknowledging God as the eternal God. So he's not just from everlasting, he's eternal. And that's the point, if you look at two more verses, really. Psalms chapter 41. 41. And it's this expression is found a couple times in Psalms. In Psalms 41 and verse 13, it closes this way. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." So the God of Israel is an eternal God. He is from everlasting. You got eternity past to everlasting, eternity future. And it expresses him that way. Now that should ring a bell in your mind, especially since I gave it away from the very beginning. Can you quote Micah chapter 5 and verse 2? You hear it every Christmas. If not, you can either find it or I'll read it to you. Just before Nahum, which is before Zephaniah, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth is from of old, from everlasting." And that's talking about, that's exactly when they were talking, looking for the birth of Christ. That's the quotation that they go back to and realize that he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But in the very same verse is the reminder that he that's born in Bethlehem of Judea is actually from everlasting. He is the eternal God. And that's the whole point, is when we're looking at Daniel, we can call the Lord Jesus Christ the Ancient of Days. And then we can turn around and call God the Father the Ancient of Days, because they're God. God the Father, God the Son, and then we also know that there is a third person of deity, and that is God the Holy Spirit. So that expression, the way that's used in Daniel 7, is just another one of those verses in the Bible that show that God is indeed a Trinity, and that Jesus Christ and God the Father are one. So I wanted to point that out before we go past that. So go back to Daniel 7. So in Daniel 7, if we compare verses 9 and 10, we've already talked about verse 9, the description of the Lord Jesus Christ matches Revelation chapter 1 as John sees him in his coming in judgment on this earth. Verse 10 says, "A fiery stream came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open." So the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to destroy. The thrones are cast down. Then he's going to sit on the throne, and there's going to be people ministering to him, but there's going to be people standing before him in judgment. Now, you mathematicians, you can tell me later, or you can just yell it out real quick. The first time I read thousand thousands ministered unto him, I said, well, that's a million, a thousand thousand. But it doesn't say a thousand thousand. It says, and not even the word A, it keeps bugging me because there's no A there. It says thousand thousands. So that's a thousand squared instead of a thousand times a thousand. And I don't even know what number that would be. I don't know how many zeros that is. I didn't bother trying to figure that out. But I first thought it was a million that ministered unto him, and then 10,000 times 10,000 I thought was a bigger number. I mean, you guys can figure that out and tell me. But 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million that stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. Now, I play games with numbers every time I see them, and I'm throwing this out just without any... I'm not saying this is a fact. One of the things that when I read through the book of Revelation, I realize by the middle of the tribulation, half the world population is dead. So if there's 8 billion people in the world, by the middle of the tribulation, there's going to be 4 billion people living in the world. But the last half of the tribulation is worse than the first. And so when I think about 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, the judgment was set and the books were open, that sounds like the people that are left at the end of the tribulation that are going to stand before him. We're down to 100 million? That's kind of small. That's That's all. That's what 3,900,000,000 are going to die in the second half of tribulation. I don't know if that's true, but you know, when I look at that, I see some people standing before him in judgment. There's two things about that judgment. We'll go back about what the Bible says about that judgment on his second coming, but just the fact that the books were open. There's one verse that always, well, there's actually two verses that come to my mind, but there's another verse too. And if you don't mind flipping, and if you can't keep up with looking at some verses, then you can just listen to them. But in Isaiah chapter 65, a statement is made. And this is, you know, when you think about even studying the book of Daniel, studying the book of Daniel might not be about the dispensation of grace. But you talk about evidence about the Bible being the Word of God. Before Nebuchadnezzar ever ruled, God said Nebuchadnezzar is going to take Israel. And then as soon as he does, God gives revelation of the next world empires until Jesus Christ returns. And we're living at a time where three of them, if you count Rome, four of them, if the future one is a revived of the fourth one, three of them have already passed. And so we realize the accuracy of God's word. And then we not only know the accuracy of God's word, and not only the prophecies of those kingdoms that are going to reign, but different details. A judgment's going to be set at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when he sets that judgment, there's going to be books that are open. Now, those that are going to be condemned at the second coming of Christ, in Isaiah chapter 65, in fact, I don't remember who it was. This week we were talking about, in the fellowship hall, I think, or in the foyer maybe it was, verse 5 of Isaiah 65. We said that there is a group of people that comes out of the Bible, people thinking they're holier than thou. I forget who I said that with, but it's verse 6 I want you to see, but since we talked about it this week, verse 5 says, and he's condemning those in Israel that are bowing down to altars and stuff. There is, in the same chapter, the believing remnant that are talked about. But in verse 5 it says, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. They are a smoke in my nostrils and a fire that burneth all the day. And that's like a description of the Pharisees who thought they were holier than Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was breaking the law, but they don't break the law. And they thought they were holier than thou. But verse 6 says, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom. Notice that phrase, it is written before me. There are some books that are written. These people and the names of these people who had this attitude, they're written before him. A lot of times we wonder about when the woman at the well was going to be stoned and a bunch of men wanted to stone her and the Lord bent down and started writing in the sand. We don't have any idea what he wrote. But he might have wrote down some names and some activities of people that were standing there. There are some books. There are things that are written. And when it comes to the judgment, there's going to be those books going to be open. Malachi. Now, here's a positive one. That's why I say it's good to know, no matter if you're on the Lord's side or if you're on the damned side, there's a set of books. Now, I think in the judgment set that we're talking about in, well, it can include both in Daniel chapter 7. But in Micah, it says in chapter 3 and verse 16. No, not Micah. Malachi. Thank you. Did I say Malachi the first time?
Yes.
All right. I got you heading the right way. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. It's amazing our conversation is heard by the Lord, isn't it? And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. See, there is not only for us the judgment seat of Christ, that is us, the body of Christ, but in Matthew chapter 24, Israel is going to stand before God. There's going to be some that are going to be cast out of his presence, but there's some that are going to be rewarded. And there's books that are written that they're going to be judged out of for reward, and then even some for the evil deeds that they did. We'll talk more about that. But anyhow, this is more of a positive. Are you familiar with the negative in Revelation chapter 20? And this will be important for you to see the timing of this as well. So Revelation 19 is the Lord Jesus Christ's return. In chapter 20 and verse 3, Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. Now maybe I should read that because there's a phrase here I want you to catch. And cast him in the bottomless pit and sealed it up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. And just hang on to that thought, a little season. How long is that? Well, we know in verse 7, it says, and when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So it's 1,000 years. Satan leads a rebellion, is judged, and then there's a great white throne judgment that starts in verse 11. And then in verse 12 it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now this great white throne judgment is the damned of the ages, from Adam forward. I'm not including Adam in that, but I mean from that time forward. The damned of all the ages. Death and hell are going to deliver up the dead, which were in them. And it says, and they'll stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Notice they're judged by the plural, the books, not the book of life. Because if you look at verse 15, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Their name is not found in the book of life, so they're going to be judged out of the books according to their works. And they're going to be damned. There's going to be degrees of damnation in eternity future when death and hell, well, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So after the 1,000 years, the damned of the ages are going to stand before God, and there's going to be books open. And they're going to first see their name is not in the book of life, and then they're going to, the books are going to have a list of their works, and they're going to be damned based on the works that they did, sentenced based on the works that they did. So these books, and that's where we're reading over there in Daniel chapter 7, the books were open. So God has a record, and it's, He wouldn't necessarily need a record, but everybody keeps records, and other people would need, I didn't say that. Prove to me I said that. Well, this angel heard you say that. It's written right here. And so there's a witness to the fact that they ought to be judged. Now, when they are judged there, we have the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, and at a second coming, there is a judgment that takes place. So before we go to Daniel, maybe you're there, Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to skip over to Matthew 24. That's when he comes back and Israel is judged. And that's part of what's going on here. But the believing remnant are going to have a place in the kingdom. But we're talking about the judgment of nations. And so in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. So the nations, this is now the Gentile nations after the second coming of Jesus Christ, before the 1,000-year reign. And there's a judgment that's taking place here. There are those that have done right, and they're going to enter into the kingdom. In verse 37, and he shall say verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, back in Matthew chapter 8, a centurion came to the Lord and needed healing for his servant. And he understood that he has no right, because he's a Gentile, to ask this of the Lord. But he understands the authority and how he doesn't come close, and even though he has authority in the Roman government, to the Lord. And the Lord said, I haven't seen such great a faith in Israel. Then the Lord turned around and said to his disciples, many are going to come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And what he's talking about, many Gentiles are going to come and be a part of the kingdom that's going to be set up with Jesus Christ. They're going to come through the nation of Israel, recognizing who Israel is, but become part of that kingdom. Well, here's some Gentiles. They're going to be part of that kingdom. But they're the sheep. The goat nations is in verse 41. Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So the devil and his angels, the devil, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, is going to be cast in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And it's not until after that that he's going to be thrown into that lake of fire. But here there's some people that are going to be cast in the fires of hell at the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's a judgment that's set, and they're cast in. Verse 46 says, and these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. So there's some going to go into everlasting life in that kingdom, but those Gentiles that are being judged and condemned in verse 41, they go into that fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. They go into hell, and it's an everlasting punishment. So this you see the judgment is set. And what I wanted you to see in that is there's really two parts of that judgment. In Matthew chapter 5, no, John chapter 5, I'm getting all this, we'll get it all together and we can just walk through Daniel when we do this. When we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ being called the Ancient of Days, part of in this judgment set, here's another verse that shows that Ancient of Days in verse 9 of Daniel 7 is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5 and verse 21, it's Lord Jesus Christ speaking, says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So when judgment is set, who are they going to stand before? Who are they going to give an account to? We know who every knee is going to bow to. So all judgment is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So certainly when we're reading Daniel chapter 7, 9, 10, and 11, that Ancient of Days is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he judges, notice down here in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You see those two titles? He's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. And because he is the Son of Man, he has the authority to judge man. We'll talk about those phrases in a moment, those titles. Verse 28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which there are, which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, we're not going to go try to prove all this, but what I just showed you in the book of Revelation, talking about the judgment at the second coming of Christ, and 1,000 years later, the great white throne judgment, do you realize the ones who are raised to life are raised to life at the second coming of Jesus Christ. The ones who are raised to damnation are raised after the 1,000-year reign. There's 1,000 years between those times there. It just blends them together there. It's Revelation that's going to show you the timing of those judgments. The verse is true. They're both going to be raised, and one's going to go into life, one's going to be damned, but there's going to be 1,000 years in between that. And yet there is a judgment at his coming of lost people, as well as a judgment at the great white throne. And the difference between that is when he comes and judges at his second coming, they are judged. They are condemned. They're cast into hell. 1,000 years later, death and hell are going to be stand before him, and their books are going to be open, and that's the sentencing for eternal punishment. So they're already condemned in his first at his coming. And even those who have died in the ages past, they're already in a place of torment, waiting to be sentenced for all eternity, which takes place after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So that's you see the difference in those two. You get a little confused, just like you do in John. You don't see the difference between them. If you in Daniel chapter 7, you don't quite see it either. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. So we have verse 10. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in judgment. And then at the end of verse 10, those 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. And I beheld then till the voice of the great, I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Now remember what the horn is blaspheming. He's speaking against the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking against God, declaring he's God and that God up in heaven is evil. I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, I guess I should tell you just hold Revelation 20. Because all the what Daniel sees is goes so parallel with the book of Revelation. In chapter 19, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you know, you have that battle of Armageddon there. But in verse 20, it says this. It says, Revelation 19:20, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now that's the beast. Who's inside that beast? The dragon, Satan. Satan is put in a bottomless pit, but there is a man who is the beast, and that man, his body, is going to be thrown in that lake of fire. That's what you're reading about in Revelation 7, verse 11. I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So the Antichrist is thrown into hell. Satan is cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years till he joins him in that lake of fire. And then so Daniel chapter 7 and verse 12 says, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I have a little trouble with calling their lives prolonged. They lose their dominion. All those other beasts, that would be Babylon, Media-Persia, Greece, perhaps ancient Rome, but their dominion is taken away. When it's taken away, if you look over verse 27, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. So that territory is taken away from them, and yet their judgment awaits. And that is that great white throne judgment, if lives there being prolonged is that. So that I have a hard time ever, like people always say, people are going to live in hell forever. No, they're not. They're going to die in hell forever. Life is union with God. Death is separation from God. They're going to experience eternal death. They're not going to experience life in hell. There is no life in hell. That doesn't mean they don't exist. It means they exist in their conscious, and they're going to suffer forever, but they have that's not called life. And that's why I have a little problem there, understanding how their life is spared for a time and a season. I talked to you already about the season. Satan is going to be in the thousand, going to be loose after a little season. That's why I'm relating it to that thousand-year period. But we'll pick up there. I thought we could get to 13 and 14 today as well. We laid some groundwork for it. But anyhow, we're kind of interpreting as we go along. But we'll continue that and continue on our study of Daniel. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for Sunday school. A little different than 11 o'clock service when we more concentrate on the age of grace and what you have for us in this age and what you blessed us with and how we ought to live and please you. We thank you that we can study these even difficult things so we can just see how deep your Bible goes and how marvelous it is, telling us the end from the beginning. In the Savior's name we pray and thank you. Amen.